So a Jewish calendar, a lunar Jewish calendar, says that today, April 30th, is one of two possible dates that Jesus died. That's kind of interesting. On April 30th, in 1905, the ice cream cone was invented. And in 1939, the World's Fair opened in New York. In 1943, the Camp Bergen-Belsen was opened. And in 1945, Hitler died. Bless you. And in 1957, Mr. Potato Head made his debut on television, the first toy to be advertised on television. These are random dates, I know. For some people, some of those dates, you know, you remember, right? And some of them are more important than others. When I was a chaplain intern a couple years ago, I came across a few people, two in particular that I remember, one woman and one man. And they were well into their 90s. In fact, one was like 98. And probably within days of dying. And for one, there was a lot of family. And in those moments, when family wants you to say something or just to be there, it's hard to know what to say. But what I found was, with a lot of people, and not just these two elderly people, one of the things that's easy to say is, tell me about a time when. And you'd be surprised at how faces change. And sometimes there are smiles, sometimes kind of grimaces, when you remember what has happened in your past, the things that are part of who you are. Your past is important, be it good or bad. It is part of who you are. So I have a friend who, when our children were young, two of our children attended a therapy play group together. And we had become friends over the years, good friends. And then she was diagnosed with breast cancer that had metastasized, and it was stage 3. And the prognosis was not good. She was in the medical profession, a nurse, and so she knew. And we talked and we cried, and it was a really difficult time. But one of the things she did first, because she thinks of stuff like that, is she started writing letters to her children, two children. The boy was older, and then the little girl they adopted from Colombia. And in addition to writing letters, she made videos. She made videos where she talked to them, where she told them the stories of who they are and who they will become or who she hopes that they will become. She even read children's books. The books that she read to them, she read on videos so that they would remember her reading these books. And one day, maybe, show that to their grandchildren and their grandchildren, the same books that were read. It was just amazing how she stepped up to do those things. But she realized the importance of knowing yourself from the beginning, knowing your past, and hoping for things to come. Our disciples in the story today were finding some of those same things that my friend found, and that is lost hope. She encountered things that she did not hope for, things that surprised her, things that kind of ruined her plans, not what she hoped for, and that's really what the disciples were faced with as well on this journey. And they said so. They were hoping for a Messiah, a king, someone who would redeem Israel. That's what they were hoping. And yet in these last couple days, what they saw was their king crucified like a regular criminal and died, and they saw nothing else. But then this man joined them on the journey, this man who they didn't recognize at first, who listened to them tell the story of what happened. They just listened. He didn't say a word. And when he was done, then he said, "Oh, you're so foolish. Let me tell you something. Let me go back to the scriptures of Moses and tell you about who God is and who God is in your life and how God is with God's people." And so he told them the story, and they could just kind of feel the weight lift a little bit. They were starting to feel a little bit better. Without a real explanation, it was just a little better. And they were just about the end of their 7-mile journey and ready to take their separate ways, but they said, "No, no, stay with us. Come have a meal. We really want you to stay." And so he did, and they sat down for a meal together. And he should have been the guest, but somehow right in there he became the host. Because he picked up the bread and he broke it. And in that moment, they recognized Jesus. In that very moment, Jesus was revealed to them in the breaking of the bread. And that's, I'm sure, why communion is so, so special to us, because Jesus is revealed. Communion is something we come every Sunday to do, and sometimes in the middle of the week. And we come to gather together and share in the body and blood of Jesus. We enter into this mystery where bread and wine turn into a body and blood, and we receive Christ in a very special way. So special that if you're like me a little bit, I mean, sometimes when you come up and receive communion, it might feel a little bit like rote. This is what I do in the service. We come up, we hear music, we come up and we cross our hands and we take the bread and we say amen. And then there are other times where maybe it feels something stirs within us. And it's a more special moment. And then other times, what I do sometimes, and maybe you've noticed, is that the water just wells up a little bit in the eyes. It's just so incredibly special that we share this meal together. There are people who have come, who have taken communion for the first time, people that I know, who were not necessarily followers of Jesus, who took communion for the very first time and encountered Jesus. And they came to church the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, because something happened for them. There's something interesting about this story of the disciples' journey to Emmaus. The whole story is really a pattern for our own worship. So if you think about it, they started out as two, and another person came. They gathered, they talked, and then Jesus, not known to them at the time, went back to the scriptures of Moses and told them all about the history of God and God's people. Went all the way back and told them the whole history. And then they broke bread, shared a meal. Jesus was revealed. And then later they went out and they told other people. Our worship services, if you think about it, we gather. We actually gather to remember. As members of the body of Christ, we remember to come to worship. And then, as we've gathered, the first part of our liturgy is the liturgy of the Word, where we read Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospel. We read those scriptures because they're important to us and they're part of who we are. And then we share a meal. And this meal is called the Liturgy of the Table. And this is the meal that we gather together to share and receive Jesus in a very special way. And then when all of that is over, we have a dismissal. And we go out and we spread the good news. It's amazing how that pattern is just right there. In the Road to Emmaus, it's the same pattern of our worship. So this journey that the disciples are on, we're on, is our journey, right? It's our journey where we have hopes for things that don't happen. We have to go back and remember where we're from so that we can remember who God is and remember who we are in relationship with God. And remembering is good. The road to Emmaus is not a perfect road. It's not an easy ride all the time, right? It's a long journey. And we're all going to get there. We're all going to the same place. We're all on the journey, maybe different paths, but we're all going to the same place. And it's not easy along the way. We've all encountered things where maybe something happens that ruins what we had hoped for or changes what we had hoped for. But when we go back and we remember all that's happened, somehow it feels a little bit better. When we ride this journey, I shouldn't say ride, when we walk this journey together, we see different things. We encounter Christ in different ways. For a lot of us, it's communion every Sunday. We encounter Christ in other people. And when our eyes sometimes are shut tight and we can't see Jesus, Jesus will reveal himself at some point in time. And when Jesus reveals himself, it gives us that strength to keep going and to move on. And then, when we have that strength to move on, we go, hopefully, and tell others who join us on our journey, all to the same place. And for that, we say thanks be to God.